Let's begin with a little word of prayer, okay? Father, I love you today. I thank you, Lord, for your calling, your purpose in our lives. God, for the purpose that you have us here this weekend. Lord, it's about growing in you. It's about wanting more of you, Lord, too, so that we can do greater things, God. So we don't stay the same, but we are a recreation or a new creation, God, in you, Father. Father, as we begin to decrease and you increase, we know that we become more like you in everything that we do. And Father, this is what this world needs. And Father, I right now, I just ask you to bless this time. Bless this word today, this lesson. And just, Father, I just pray that I can speak from passion today. And Father, that I stand behind the cross, but God, that you are seen. Lord, I praise you and I honor you today. And I thank you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for loving each one of us, God. Lord, for it's your will, and God, we praise you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, I do have several slides to go through today, and it's just a simple presentation, many slides, but there are several points I just want to bring, you know, to the forefront to allow you to understand what it means to be uniquely transformed. In 2 Corinthians 5:12 through 21, it reads, "For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for these who boast in appearance and not in heart. For we are beside ourselves. It is for God. Or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf. We be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." That's powerful. New creation. We're made new for a purpose, an ambassador of Christ. We come to a place in our life that we know that we have sin and we repent. But we turn that over and we look at what Christ did for us in our lives, and then we go out and we share him with others. That's uniquely transformed. That is putting yourself out of the way and allowing Christ to live through you. You see, God had a plan since the beginning of creation. His intentions was and is to have a people who honor and to worship him as creator and God. For God's plan to be accomplished, he used people who were called for and to unique circumstances and assignments. The unique calling would bring others into a deeper understanding and a relationship with God. The people that came to this understanding of God is seen in the Israelites. a remnant spoke of through Scripture, martyrs, men and women after God's heart, the righteous and the called. The unique calling was performed by people who were uniquely transformed. That's an underlined word, so there you fill in the blank. But people who are uniquely transformed. Out of that list of people, of the ones that we see through Scripture, God, they had an encounter with God. There was something that they did. There was something that made them new, and they had a purpose. They went out and they shared what God wanted to use them for. A unique calling can only be brought by God for His purpose. A unique calling can only be brought by God for His purpose. God's purpose was to bring other people to Him and have them come into a relationship with Him. I'm thankful that people came to me in my time of need. I'm thankful that I was able to see godly men and women when I was in sin, because that gave me something that I wanted, knowing that I could become something different, that I didn't have to live in that sin. There was hope when I seen godly men and women out sharing the word, giving their testimony, allowing God to live through them. We have all been called for a God-sized purpose. We have all been called to bring the message of a loving Savior to others. This message is a message each of us has heard and realized was true ourselves. We personally all have had an encounter with God. Do you remember the day that you were saved? Do you remember the time that He honestly spoke to you and you knew His presence was there? These are encounters that we build our relationship off of. You see, the reason that we're sitting here today is to learn more about God so that we can be better equipped and be ready to go out and to share this word. We didn't come here to see me today. You know, we didn't come for Pastor Stover you might have come from Miss Nancy. We love to see her. But you know, we came here for something greater, to be taught, to have something given to us so that we can give it away. You see, you want more of God in your life. By receiving more of God and His teaching, you have more of a desire to tell others about what God has done for you. A person who receives help tells others where the help came from. In the Scripture, it talks about how an individual, they found bread. And when they found that bread, they knew that there was hungry people, so they actually went and told where to go get this bread. You see, when you've had a life-changing encounter with God, you know where to go, and you want to go tell people where they can have that life encounter also with God, where they can have that change. You see, this lesson, it actually came from how God uniquely transformed me, where He brought me from. There was a day that I was in darkness as a drug addict, as a marriage was being torn apart by my selfish desires and by things that my life had went to. But you see, when I come to a place of saying, you know what, I can't do no more of this, God, I need something greater. And I had that opportunity to repent, to turn my life over and allow Him to work in me and to begin to create something new. God allowed me to experience Him in a new way. I had to get out of the way so that He could increase in me. What's the word say? One who decreases, God will increase. Ain't that what we want? I mean, the world sees enough of the world, don't they? They see enough flesh already. We need to be a godly example so that people desire something greater. Experiencing a unique transformation it burdens us to let others know they too can change and have a better life. When we've had this unique transformation, God does something in us and he says, go share the bread. Go give it away. Let others know about the bread that I've given you. The bread that the scripture talks about is the bread of life. It is Jesus Christ. This bread will never go stale. It will never mold. It is fresh all the time. It is always giving. Jesus Christ is always there to give us strength and to encourage us. We all know where we have come from to get to this point in our lives. We all have experienced God. We all have seen God take us through hard and difficult times. We all can remember what sin did to us, but by the grace of God, we were found. We were saved. We are being cleaned up. And you know, we're being cleaned up and transformed into a new person. Isn't your thinking, the way that you look at things today and how you react, isn't it different than what it was when you were in sin? That's transformation. That's creation, a new creation. That is being transformed into something greater. A unique transformation is solidified by an encounter with God. A unique transformation is solidified by an encounter with God. I like that word. Everybody pronounce it, solidified. Ain't that fun just to say sometime? Just riding down the road, solidified, you know? But solidification is a phase, transition, in which a liquid turns into a solid. When we have an encounter with God, there's something that happens to us. Our experience makes us stronger. Makes us stronger, knowing that we've got a boldness. Something rises up in us, and we can do our life. We can do life differently because we have someone that is in us, with us, and goes with us. Gives us a purpose. There's something different. Men and women throughout Scripture encountered God. This encounter put a desire to follow God for His plan in this world. This encounter is seen through different individuals in the Bible. Abraham, Moses, Rahab, David, Esther, minor and major prophets. And you know, I could have named each one, but each one of them had a purpose. The disciples, Paul, and you know, these are just some. We could go through the scripture and we can see how they individuals had an encounter and they had a purpose and they had a desire to go share God and His story with others. The individual's personal encounter impacted their lives in such a unique way that they followed God in His plan. They gave everything up and said, here I am. They said, here I am. It wasn't about them anymore. It's not about us anymore. Individuals who have had a unique transformation surrenders all to the one who transforms. Individuals who have had a unique transformation surrenders all to the one who transforms. The one who transforms is God Himself. God transforms lives. I've been thinking about surrendering a good bit, and we've got a board of directors that works with Christ Central Ministries. And you know, we're always thinking about things in our life and what it means to go into a new ministry that's being brought up from the root, from the groundwork, and seeing God use this ministry here in Oconee. But one of the things that we always are talking about is surrendering our time, or, you know, what do we put to the side so that God can have more in us. Well, surrendering all means to surrender our own motives, personal agendas, characteristics, habits, hobbies, family, friends, finances, jobs. You know, all of your life in a whole. It is surrender. It's not us giving a little bit. But no, God requires all of you. All of you. Our mindset has to be transformed into a mind that pursues God's will. A mind that pursues God's will. You see, if we hold on to flesh, we will live for self. If we hold on to self, we will live for self. You see, if we hold on to a small amount of ourself, that little small amount that we hold on to, it will rise up. It will get in the way. It is a surrendering of all. Unique transformation comes when we surrender our lives for God's life to be in us. Unique transformation comes when we surrender our lives for God's life to be in us. We cannot hold on to flesh and get the fullness of God. We cannot hold on to some parts of flesh and get the fullness of God. It just does not work. Our motives, the flesh, will rise up and will begin to take charge. Staying humble to God's leading is critical. It is not our plan, it is God's plan. It is not our will, it is God's will. When we surrender our life, it is not about us anymore. The greatest transformation of anyone who was uniquely transformed was when the Son of God became man. God of our universe became man. Our King, Creator of the universe, came down from heaven and walked among His creation. That's a huge transformation. You see, God gave up His throne to become man, to teach us firsthand, and then surrendered His life for a sacrifice for you and me so that we could have eternal life. I'm thankful. This is something that we need to wake up and give God praise for every day. Even when we're overwhelmed with life and burdens, knowing that we've given our life over to a Savior who loved us, paid our debt, gave us eternal life. You see, that was the greatest unique transformation ever. God Himself became one of us on this earth. But you see, the difference is Jesus did not live partaking in the sin of this world. Jesus still had God's will and plan to accomplish. Jesus did not change His characteristics to fit into the world. He was separate in all that He did. No one understood Him, not even His own family. Jesus had a unique calling that the world could not understand. That's what a unique transformation is. People do not understand it. Sometimes I don't even understand it. What is God's plan for our lives? It's something we may never fully understand, but we allow God to guide us and to lead us. Jesus' uniqueness was seen through His characteristics and attributes. Jesus' uniqueness was seen through His characteristics and attributes. People knew Jesus was different. He carried Himself different. He did not act like others. His motives were not His and the world's. He was focused on a higher calling that the world could and did not understand. Jesus' characteristics showed who He was and who He was led by. Jesus' characteristics showed who He was and who He was led by. Being uniquely transformed is taking on the characteristics of Jesus Christ. Being uniquely transformed is taking on the characteristics of Jesus Christ. You cannot just say that you are a Christian. It will be seen through your actions. It will be seen of how you love people, how you work through situations, how you deal with leadership on your job, how you raise your children, the things you listen to on the radio, the things you watch at home. People may not see you in your personal time by yourself, but that's a good way to show if you're living a Christian life or not. Uniquely transformed is becoming more like Jesus Christ. That's our example. That's our example. Jesus did not look or act like the world. He was separated. You see, that should be our desire as a Christian. We should not look and act like the world, but be separated from the world. Others should know there is something different about us. We walk different. We speak different. But you know, even though we're separated, we're still caring, and we have compassion, and we have a desire to help those that are in need. A unique transformation is a transformation that is like nothing like anything else. Jesus was nothing like this world. I believe that is why some people were not attracted to him. But I also believe that is why people were drawn to him. Because he was different. Working with substance abuse, working with homeless individuals, working with abused individuals, they are drawn to people who have structure and joy, and there's something, there's a happiness in their life because they desire that. There's something that's different. They want to have something that they don't understand, but they see the hope and they're drawn to that. I see it a lot working with substance abuse. People that come in, they've been so tore down and wore out by life and addiction and that lifestyle, that all they're wanting is somebody to be honest with them, give them hope, and let them understand what a stable life could look like. I ain't saying I'm stable. We can't all say we're stable. But you know, we got hope. We know when things start to happen, we know who to call on. We're not out running and trying to get high. We're not trying to always cover it up. We're not always trying to get out of trouble. No, there's stability. People desire that because they see the world so much, they're tired of living in it. But they want honest and truth. And that comes through God. A unique transformation is a transformation like nothing else. You were transformed for a purpose that is not your own. This transformation is not a transformation the world can describe or understand. You are separated for God's purpose and plan. So what does it look like to be more like Jesus Christ? To become more like Jesus Christ is first to become a servant. When was the last time you served someone? When was the last time that you honestly just had to put something down because someone was in need? When was the last time you asked God to help you become more of a servant? I love how Jesus broke it down in Matthew 20, 20 through 28. I don't think you can read that, but I will read it from my notes. Then the mother of Zebedee's son came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. And he said to her, "What do you wish?" She said to him, "Grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one at your right hand and the other at the left in your kingdom." But Jesus answered and said, "You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They said to him, "We are able." So he said to them, "You will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father." Now listen to this in verse 24. And when the 10 heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whosoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." A servant does not focus on themselves, but is here to serve others. You're removing yourself out of the way. If your life is all about you, do you need to ask God to remove you and to begin serving others? If your prayer life is all about you and your needs, you need to begin praying for others. A servant does not look at their life as theirs, but looks at it as God's. Serving hurts sometimes. It gets very frustrating. It is draining on the mind and the body. We've seen how Jesus, he had to just go find quiet time. You that are in ministry, you know what the importance of just finding time for yourself is. But servanthood is allowing God to be seen through you so others can encounter his love. You know, as we work with in downtown Seneca with the feeding program, and we serve about 75 average every Saturday, that line is to give a physical need, meet that physical need with food. But our purpose as Christians is to serve. And as that line goes through, we're able to smile and to show Christ through us. You know, we're given a plate of food for their purpose of getting a physical need met. We're serving a plate of food so we can share Christ. It's serving. It is serving. Uniquely transformed people become a servant to others. Their agenda is God's agenda. Uniquely transformed people become a servant to others. Do not keep what God has given you and was intended for others through you. You see, the world is selfish. The world's mindset is it is all about them and what they can acquire. A uniquely transformed life has received greater things, but then wants to give it away. Again, they go back and say, "Bread is over here. I know where you can get your needs met." It is not all about them. It is about Jesus Christ. I read a quote the other day that says, "If serving is below you, leadership is beyond you." If serving is below you, leadership is beyond you. Uniquely transformed individuals will serve others. To serve others, you have to love as Jesus Christ loved. To serve others, you have to love as Jesus Christ loved. In John 13, verse 34 and 35, it says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Love is a characteristic of individuals uniquely transformed. Jesus loved others. Jesus loved others in their trespasses. Wow. He loved them in their sin. See, sin goes deep. Sin is scary and it is messy. It is very messy to work with, especially in others. It was bad enough to deal with our own sins, but now that we're having to help others and deal with their sins and help them through a transition and to bring them into an understanding of God, that's rough. Isn't it funny, the sin we used to partake in was messy and hurtful, but now that we have removed ourselves from that sin, we think other sin is worse. Jesus loves those that are bound by the same sin we were in, just the same as he loved us. Where we've been, Jesus loved us then. if He brought us out of it, if He uniquely transformed us, if He made us into a new creation, He can do the same for others. And let me tell you, I was a sick individual. I was hurt. But I found bread. And I want to share it with others. That's what happens when God changes you. You know where He's brought you from. You know that there's hope. And now you want to give it away. I believe the places that held us back and tried to conquer us is where we can minister the best in. 1 John 4:17 through 19 says, "Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us." When you have love, you're able to love others with compassion in their mental, physical, and spiritual state. You are willing to show the love of Christ because you have compassion as Jesus Christ had compassion. Uniquely transformed lives will have compassion for the hurting individual. Uniquely transformed lives will have compassion for the hurting individuals. Jesus Christ is moved with compassion when He sees people who are lost, hungry, sick, addicted, homeless, and abused. He's moved with compassion when He sees the need of the people. Jesus living in us gives us this same compassion for those in need. Jesus living in us gives us the same compassion for those in need. Compassion for others pushes us to help those that cannot help themselves. Jesus came to help the sick and the hurting. The sick and the hurting are among us everywhere. They're in our church. They're in our family. They're in Walmart. They're in McDonald's. They're your neighbor. I love how James puts it in his writing in chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. And I do not have a slide on this one. But it says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? What does it profit?" Just to narrow the scripture down, instead of praying for people to get help, put action and find a way to help meet the need. There's so much more in it when we actually go and help a person instead of just saying, "I'll pray for you." Uniquely transformation means sticking it out, helping that individual to go to the next step. Miss Haney referred to Matthew 21 the other day, that Jesus had compassion on the crowd who were hungry. What was great about it, instead of saying, "I will pray for you and be on your way, Jesus took action. Jesus found resources, then prayed and met the needs. He fed the people. Compassion is a unique characteristic that comes with the heart and mind of Jesus Christ. Compassion is a unique characteristic that comes with the heart and mind of Jesus Christ. Jesus gave the command to forgive others for their trespass in Matthew 6, 14 and 15. "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." It is hard to help people when we feel their sin is too bad. If you have that mindset, you will not see the fruit that you desire. But if you acknowledge that we do not save people from their sins, but point individuals to the one that can, We will look at people in sin with compassion. You see, we know the severity of sin. But we also know the one that can change their life. Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 10, it says, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit, who now works in the sons of obedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by the nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." That's a new creation. Creating us. I have a saying when working with people, especially in the substance abuse program, is that all I can do is to teach them, point them in the right direction, and then hold them accountable. The rest is up to the Holy Spirit to bring them into a relationship with Jesus Christ. I can't save anyone. But because of the compassion that I have, I can lead somebody. Sin is one's in one's life cannot discourage us in helping. You can't look at someone and say, "You know what, that's just too much for me to take, to be part of or to help with." God will guide you and lead you. Compassion for individuals. Compassion for the lost is a burden given by the Holy Spirit. With the uniquely transformed life, we forget about ourselves and we begin to look at others to find ways of helping meet needs. You see, compassion for those in need brings a passion to help. Compassion for those in need brings a passion to help. Uniquely transformed individuals are passionate in areas that others do not feel burdened in, meeting a certain cause. There are things that we do in Oconee County with Christ Central Ministries that no one else is doing. We feed the people on Saturdays. There was no other feeding groups on Saturdays. I felt a compassion. God gave me a desire to work with the homeless in downtown Seneca. God led us into substance abuse recovery program and ministry because there was none here in Oconee County. We needed to make a way to help the individuals in substance abuse. We are now starting a homeless shelter because there's not an emergency homeless shelter here in Oconee County. It was a burden that was given and put on our hearts as Christ Central. It was a burden. And now we have a passion to go out and to find a way to meet these needs. You see, Jesus had a passion to save the sick. He did not come to be politically correct or to make people comfortable. Jesus came for a purpose. In Luke 2:49, Jesus knew at a young age he was about his father's business. In Luke 9:51, Jesus set out toward Jerusalem. Jesus knew he was going to give his life as a sacrifice for all mankind so they can have eternal life. Then in Luke 19:10, it reads, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Being uniquely transformed is becoming like Christ. He knew his purpose. If we become like Christ, we know our purpose also. Uniquely transformed individuals know They are on assignment for the Father's purpose. Uniquely transformed individuals. No, they are on an assignment for the Father's purpose. The purpose gives us passion in what we are called to do. The purpose gives us passion in what we are called to do. Passion is wanting to serve God and allowing your will to become His will. It's not about what we want anymore. Our flesh desires the world. But you see, when we're after God's heart, our heart becomes His heart. Our will becomes His will. Our passion comes from compassion for those that were lost like us when we experienced the love of Jesus Christ. It gives us a desire to do greater things. Uniquely transformed individuals are transformed for a specific calling that God ordained for their life. Each one of you, God has ordained a calling for you to accomplish. We have all been set apart for a greater purpose than our own. God gets your attention, brings you into a personal relationship with Him through His Holy Spirit in you, begins to heal you from past decisions and mistakes, then begins to lead you in submission to His will, and then you step into His calling. You know, if God's going to do that, I know He's got a plan for my calling. He's going to provide for it. It should not be anything that we're scared of. We should walk in what God has called us to walk in. Stepping into God's calling is fueled by what God had brought you from. You have a burden to see God reach people because God saved you in your time of need, and you know He wants to do the same for others. So how is this accomplished in one's life? The unique transformation in a person to carry out the unique calling is done by the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that when He leaves, He will do greater things than He. He gave us this promise, and He also sent the one that will help us to fulfill this promise. In John 14, 12 through 18, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. The greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. It comforts me to know that Jesus will be with me through the Holy Spirit. I am not alone. I am not alone in what God has called me to do. When God has called you, you are not alone. You are set out for a purpose. The Holy Spirit is the Paraclete. He is our helper. He walks with us. He empowers us for change and for greater things. The Holy Spirit is the Paraclete. He is our helper. He walks with us. He empowers us for change and for greater things. The Holy Spirit will quicken and lead us to transform into the person that God yearns for us to become, so that we can do exactly what God has called us to. Uniquely transformed comes down to being set apart for God's will. Set apart for God's will. It's not about our will anymore. It's not about what we want. What does God have a purpose in you for? The world cannot understand that. You see, because the world is filled with pride, with selfishness. It's all about them. How can I do better on my job? What can I What can I get in my life to make it look like my life is got it all? Or how can I feel better about myself by the things that I own? We take ourself out of the equation so that God can do greater things. Our mindset is different. Uniquely transformed. The world cannot understand it. At the age of 15, I was called by God. Stood in the church service. Declared this calling on my life. Said, God has called me, Lord, and I know it. I'm going to minister, to be a preacher, to do whatever He is sending me to do. 2 weeks later, I sat in my bedroom drawing. I was just loved art at the age of 15. Just that was my desire, to be an artist, to draw for Disney World. We were conversating about that earlier. And as I was sitting there drawing, and I just started thinking about what the massiveness or what this meant to be called by God, especially at 15. And you see, I was still pulled. I just loved the lifestyle with my friends, the music, and you know, I was pulled in two different directions. And I told God at that time, I said, Lord, I have not experienced enough to follow You the way that You want me to. I believe that's when there became something in my life that became a bondage. It put me in a different area, different place. It was some kind of sickness that took a hold of me. By the time I was 18, I was a full-blown alcoholic and drug addict. Went into my first recovery program. Still didn't get it. Got out, was living life, met a beautiful girl. I actually met her at church, my wife today, Tiffany. She put up with a lot through life. Started living successfully. I was able to hold down a good job and get high, do my thing. But it didn't work that way for too long. Over the years, the addiction just got worse and worse and worse. By the time I was 28 years old, I had hit my bottom. Finally being arrested for the third time in 1 year. Second offense for distribution and gun charges. A week before Christmas, it was December the 18th, 2005. I went to jail, got out. My parents helped get me out of jail to go into a rehab, a Christian-based rehab. My wife didn't want to help. She was done. Thank for Christmas, she was honestly giving me divorce papers. That was her surprise, which I did not blame her at all. I had a 2.5-year-old child. I had a 6-month child too, brand new baby. And all these things were on my mind. So this was God's timing. He put me, I got out of jail and I went into this rehab, Christian-based rehab, and I got saved. And as I sat there and I was in that rehab, and I was sitting at a table one night by myself with the scripture open and just saying, God, I don't know where to begin, but Lord, just help me to understand the word. Give me the word. Let me know what it means to become more like You. At that moment, God spoke to me. He says, I've called you. He said, I called you when you were 15. He said, and that calling is still there for your life. Hadn't thought about that time but till that day. 13 years later, God said, I've called you. Got out of rehab. Got to go home to my wife. Our marriage began to be healed and restoration. Oh my gosh, I love my wife. And honestly, she loves me. She'll tell you, she says, I've got a love for you that this is just undescribable. She goes, God gave me this love. because I'm just sometimes I just wonder, how in the world would you put up with me? Because I would not have put up with me. She goes, but I love you. And over time, God started working. And over time, God began to build a ministry out of the burden to help those that were lost in drug addiction, homelessness. About a year ago, the sheriff of Oconee County came to a meeting that I was holding for Christ Central Ministries, the ministry that I work with. And in this meeting, we began to talk about using the old detention center, that after they built a new one, to use it for a homeless shelter, for substance abuse programs, and to do something great to meet needs and a resource for Oconee County. It was very overwhelming to understand that at that moment, but we started to pray to see what God wanted to do. God began to put a plan together. 6 months ago, God gave me the key to the place that I was locked up in. This is the key to Oconee Detention Center, the old one. The walls that kept people in darkness shut up for so long is now being turned into a place to bring them out of addiction, help them to find strength, to show them the love of Jesus Christ. This key locked me up, but I hold it today because God has a greater plan. He has a plan for each and every one of you. It is a unique transformation. It is something the world cannot understand. Something that we're separated for. God's given you a compassion, and then he's given you a passion to see that calling fulfilled. Thank you for listening, and I pray that what was said today that you can take. May it be part of your life. So thank you. Is there any questions? If we have time, I'm not even. Oh yeah, I'm on time. Are there any questions? Yes, yeah. As y'all touch that key, pray for that key. That key right there has been used since the early, late 70s to lock a lot of people up in bondage.